Many European countries are dominated by their capital city. The Greeks are proud of how you can see nearly half of all the people in their country from the hilltop views on the Acropolis in Athens. Dublin is the cultural and governmental heart of Ireland. Vienna is the same for Austria. Prague, that's the dominant city for the Czechs. And you can't say you've been to Denmark without spending time in its big city, Copenhagen, with its bikeable city center and inviting waterfront promenades. But the islands and peninsula that make up the rest of the country of Denmark have plenty to offer as well. Fairy tale castles, first-rate museums, showing off everything from Viking history to contemporary art. And small farming and fishing towns where you can breathe in that laid-back sense of Danish coziness and the good life are just an easy bus or train ride from the big city. Our guides to Denmark beyond Copenhagen are Camilla Kolding Jorgensen and Anja Kuznar. Camilla and Anja, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So first, I'd love to hear your story, because both of you have lived in Denmark and now you're living someplace else and you earn your living guiding people around Europe. Camilla, what's your connection with Denmark?
I was born in Copenhagen, raised in Copenhagen. My mother is Danish. My father came out to Denmark from Turkey. So I'm kind of mixed, but I have been living there all my life until I started to travel a lot.
And now where do you live?
I live in Sicily.
Okay. This is so European, isn't it?
Yeah,
so you've got a Turkish father, a Danish mother.
And I live in Sicily.
Are you still a Danish citizen?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm still a Danish citizen.
Very nice.
Yep.
And Anja, what's your story?
So, Rick, I'm coming from Slovenia, which lies on the sunny side of the Alps. But in my past, I traveled abroad and came to Copenhagen, fell in love with a Dane, learned the language, worked there for quite some time. Then I moved back to Slovenia.
You guys live all over the place within Europe. And, you know, you can choose the weather. You can track your loves where you want to live. You can go where your work will be best, or you can choose a society that has designed its the fabric of that society in a way that you like, that fits your style. What I introduced us to was the fact that when we go to Denmark, the typical American traveler just goes to Copenhagen. But the cool thing to remember is Denmark is small, and it's got a great train system, and you can really side trip to most of the country, even in a day. And what I want to talk about right now is some of the great places that you could see outside of Copenhagen. Anja, what would be a side trip you would take if I was visiting Copenhagen and you wanted to get me a good break from capital city?
So Copenhagen lies on an island which is called Sjælland, and it has great train connections, as you mentioned, to the places such as Roskilde. So that will be definitely number one on the list.
Okay, so why is Roskilde number one?
It used to be the seat of a bishop back in the past.
Yeah.
And today you can visit its mighty cathedral, where more than 39 Danish queens and kings are buried in the Roskilde.
I'm a sucker for these kind of great national cathedrals where you have most of the famous personalities and leaders and kings and queens of a country buried. Everybody loves to go to Westminster Abbey in London, for example. In Krakow, you have Vavo Cathedral, which is amazing. And in Denmark, you would find the royals buried mostly not in Copenhagen, but out in Roskilde. And Roskilde is kind of a twofer, isn't it? Because there's another very important site in Roskilde.
Yeah, you could also dive deeper into Danish past. So you could visit the Viking Ship Museum, and you would see the larger ships with which the Vikings would cross the oceans. They would sail down the rivers, reach down to the Black Sea, cross the Atlantic Ocean.
People don't realize how wide the Vikings ventured.
Yes, exactly.
Of course, they settled Iceland. Mm-hmm. They settled in Greenland. Mm-hmm. Most people accept that they discovered, quote, America 500 years before Columbus. Mm-hmm. The word Russia is a Norse word. They went down the rivers into Russia. And the Vikings actually went into the Mediterranean.
Yep.
So the Vikings had, and they had to get there with boats. So I love seeing a Viking ship museum. And Roskilde is great, isn't it?
And you could also see the smaller ships, which were used for hunting whales. And you see nowadays in winter months in Copenhagen, you would still see Danes wearing fur coats made of whale skin.
Skin. Wow. Camilla, when you're thinking about Viking ships all over Scandinavia, where's the best place to see Viking ships, would you say?
There are some places up in Oslo, but I would say Roskilde. I would go there.
It's
definitely.
I was going to ask you because I'm Norwegian heritage
yes,
and you're Danish.
That.
and there's wonderful Viking ships at the Viking Ship Museum in Bygdøy, which I think is closed now because they're doing a big renovation, but it's going to be great when they open it up. But the Viking ships in Roskilde are so well preserved. And I think that's because they were scuttled, weren't they? They were sunk on purpose to block a harbor.
Yeah.
So they dug them up and go, wow, 1,000-year-old ships. Now, Camilla, I'd like to ask you about side-tripping into Sweden from Copenhagen.
I was actually just going to say something about that because I have a favorite place that I would go if I had a day off in Copenhagen. It would not be crossing the bridge over to Malmö. I would go to the harbor, take a boat out to Ven.
You would?
The small island of Ven. It takes you 50 minutes and now up to an hour. Nice. And it's a part of Sweden, but it's just in between Denmark and Sweden.
There's an island.
There is a small island. That's actually where you have the Tycho Brahe Museum.
Okay.
And it's fantastic nature out there. You go out and...
And just to talk about this, the connections between Denmark and Sweden.
Yeah.
Malmö and Lund are two sizable cities in Sweden.
Yes.
The biggest urban area in Scandinavia now, I believe, is Copenhagen.
Yeah.
Because you've tied in Malmö and Lund in Sweden.
Yeah. Yeah, we did get the bridge.
Remarkable engineering, what Denmark is doing.
Yeah.
I was just in Hamburg a couple months ago, and they're building a new massive bridge where Hamburg and Copenhagen are going to be like sister cities.
They're still, I don't think they started the construction, but they're going to make a bridge between Denmark and Germany.
And believe it or not, Hamburg and Copenhagen dream of sharing the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up in 2040 or something like that. That's what
we are ready.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm talking with Anja Kuznar and Camilla Kolding Jorgensen. And we're talking about side tripping from Copenhagen. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. You can email us at radio@ricksteves.com. Neil's calling in from Milwaukee in Wisconsin. Hey, Neil, thanks for your call.
How are you doing?
Doing great. Have you traveled in Denmark?
I have, and I've covered quite a bit of territory outside of Copenhagen and found it fascinating and would encourage anyone to do it. One of the really easy ones to do is to hop on a train from the Copenhagen station, and in about 40 or 45 minutes, you can be in Hillerød to visit Frederiksborg Castle. It's not the same as the city of Frederiksborg, but it's Frederiksborg Castle and just a spectacular castle on a set of three islands in a lake, and just beautiful to approach with lovely gardens, easy to get to after you arrive. You can either walk directly to the castle or take a boat across this beautiful little pond and approach that way. And I think it's often referred to as the Danish Versailles, and the advantage that it has over places like Versailles and many places in Europe right now, the crowding that has been talked about so much. This is a place that I've spent time in with almost no one in the same room. It's a spectacular chapel with no one else in there, and just a lovely, lovely spot.
And Neil, you were talking about the approach, and I was right there with you because it just seems like a cute little toy soldier world as you walk from the train station in a lovely town through a park, and it's a pedestrian-friendly area, and you got the moat that now is a lake with swans in it, and you've got little cafes and what were the bastions, and then you come into the clip-clop cobbled courtyard, and you're just surrounded by all of this royal Danish brickwork, and then you step inside. And this Danish Versailles, it's like a interactive history book because you're walking through there and you see all these portraits of the royal families and the great battles and the reminder that Denmark was at one time one of Europe's military powers and a big deal. Camilla, give us a few tips on the castle there, Frederiksborg.
One of the things that I would go and visiting the castle is the church, the castle church.
Yeah.
It's very small, but it's extremely beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
So that's definitely worth a visit.
And Anja, how about you? What would you particularly enjoy about a trip? It's just like 45 minutes, Neil said, from Copenhagen. It's amazing just to pop on a train and you get there easy.
Yeah, well, this used to be a Danish king's and queen's coronation site for 200 years. And this is a place where royal weddings took place. So it is a very magical place to visit.
Hey, Neil, you mentioned you've got plenty of enjoyable memories side-tripping out of Copenhagen, what's another place that might not be on our radar that you would recommend knowing about?
Well, Aarhus, of course, which is, I think, the second biggest city. There's a spectacular modern art museum and then an open-air town museum where many buildings from elsewhere in Denmark have been located over the years and creates a sense of older times in Denmark in a kind of interactive setting. So Aarhus is a great place to visit, but there have been so many, and some of them just towns filled with public art that, you know, they've just committed to that as a value to their citizens. So great fun from that standpoint.
So it sounds like you're a fan of recognizing that there's a lot to see in Denmark outside of Copenhagen.
And the one thing I'd say about visiting the castle in Frederiksberg is remember to look up. It is one of those places where the decorated ceilings are just awe-inspiring.
Oh, that's
there's
great.
The portraits on the wall, but then great art up above you.
Good advice, good advice. Thanks, Neil, for your call.
Thank you.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking about side-tripping from Copenhagen in the beautiful Hooghly country of Denmark. Our guests are Anja Kuznar and Camilla Kolding Jorgensen. Hey, Camilla, I think I remember that word, Hooghly?
Hooghly, yeah.
What does that mean?
That means basically cozy.
Cozy.
But it's not just a word. It's a state of mind. It's just a way of being together or being alone. It's actually very difficult to explain because you just have to feel it.
But if you've been in the countryside in a small town, if you've been walking around on the waterfront and aeroscoping, for example.
And that's a Hooghly
town.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that everybody who has been or still is a kid likes is
Odense, H.C. Andersen.
What's that?
Yeah, Hans Christian Andersen.
H.C. Well, yeah, if you're interested in H.C., Hans Christian Andersen, how do you best experience that?
In Odense. You go and visit his house and
it's a wonderful museum for Hans Christian Andersen. And I feel like I'm just skipping and delighting in a children's parade right now when I think about Hans Christian Andersen in Odense. But what I was going for was not Jose, H.C., I was going for Legoland.
Beyond.
Anja, have you been to Legoland?
Oh, yes, I've been there. Even as a grown-up, you would just enjoy walking through the structures made with Legos. Yeah.
I love Legoland. And I felt so conflicted because I'm supposed to be a mature adult, and I had the opportunity to go to Legoland to work on my Denmark book. And my son was a fanatic Lego kid, you know, and he never got to go to Legoland, but I got to go to Legoland. But Legoland has like millions and millions of little tiny Legos putting together the Acropolis, the Eiffel Tower, the Great Wall of China, you name it. You can travel around the world.
Yeah.
It must be a great experience for parents to take their kids to Legoland.
Absolutely.
It's a destination where you can sleep over, have a full board
accommodation.
Sort
of it's kind of like a Hooghly Disneyland.
Yeah,
it is, yeah.
There's something more cute and charming about it than big, aggressive Disneyland, you know?
Yeah,
and it's just as great for families.
Absolutely.
And it's a pilgrimage site for the European families, I would say.
Oh, yeah. This is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm talking with Anja Kuznar and Camilla Kolding Jorgensen, and we're talking about side-tripping from Copenhagen to understand other dimensions of Denmark. Anja tells us how she developed her Danish language skills by teaching kindergarten and more about parental benefits in Danish society. That's in an extra to today's interview, and you can listen to that at ricksteves.com/radio. Our phone number is 877-333-7425, and Carolyn is using that phone number right now from San Diego. Hey, Carolyn.
Hello.
What's your tip for us thinking of how can we spice up our trip by going someplace maybe off the radar that's a side trip from Copenhagen?
Well, this place is very off the radar, off the beaten path, they say. It's called the Tranekker International Center for Art and Nature. I believe you actually have to drive there. It's on one of the larger islands in Denmark called Langeland. And it's a park, but it's around a castle, Tranekker Slot. The castle is not open year-round, but it is open sometimes. When we were there, we just walked around the installation of art around the lake. So there's a castle, there's a lake, then you can walk all around it, and then they have nature and art installations, and a lot of them involve old-growth trees. It's walking around a forest.
Wow.
And really beautiful. when we were there, there was no fee to enter, but I was looking it up. It looks like it only costs about 25 Danish krona, which is very inexpensive.
That'd be like $3 or $4 or something like that.
Beautiful and just really interesting sculpture in amongst nature.
Wow. Well, that's by the name, Center for Art and Nature. And Carolyn, I'll spell the name here, Tranekeer, T-R-A-N-E-K-A-E-R, Tranekeer?
Yes.
Tranekeer International Center for Kunst og Natur.
And I just look for nature parks and sculpture parks around the world.
Yeah.
And my best friends moved to Denmark, married a Danish scientist about 25 years ago. And so we've done many trips around Denmark. I was very lucky. And also into Sweden. There's beautiful things
there. Oh, yeah.
There,
so you can mix up nature and art. And, if I just think about it right now, I'm going to think Norway, Sweden, Denmark. I can think of many opportunities to mix nature and art. That's kind of a cool Nordic thing. Hey, Carolyn, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So Carolyn was talking about Tranekeer Center for Art and Nature, but I don't know the full name of Louisiana, but there's a museum just north of Copenhagen that mixes modern art and nature quite nicely. Camila, what am I talking about?
Yeah, you're talking about Louisiana.
Louisiana,
it's called,
yeah.
And it's a museum. You take the train from Copenhagen.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, half an hour up there. And
it's
then
like a big park?
It's both outside and inside.
Yeah.
There is the building with the exhibition, and it changes from time to time. And then there are, like, sculptures outside in the park.
Oh, I love it. That's another example of why you could not see anything in Copenhagen and do a whole trip side-tripping out. We've been kind of going around in a circle. Anya, is there another place that you'd recommend considering outside of Copenhagen we've yet to talk about?
I would take trains up north, remaining on the island of Sjælland, and visiting places such as Gilleleje or Tinsvilla. These are small harbor towns where you can buy fresh fish, sit on a bench, grab a picnic lunch. That's a very Danish thing to do.
I could imagine you could take a train for an hour north of Copenhagen and get off at any town on the water.
Exactly.
And have a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
In fact, the less you know that town, the better, because there'd be no tourists there.
And let me tell you, Rick, in Copenhagen, there are also udflugtbørnehaver. That means daycare centers where every day they would provide a day trip for the kids. So they would leave early in the morning on the bus and return very tired at the end of the day. The parents simply
Mission
love
accomplished.
It.
That's great. I bet one place they might go is Bakken.
And Bakken, the park, yeah.
Now, and I like to bring up Bakken because everybody goes to Tivoli.
Yeah.
And Tivoli is great. It's an elegant kind of Danish Disneyland right across the street from the train station in Copenhagen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you want a more local, laid-back, nature-infused Tivoli experience, I really like Bakken.
Yeah, I would definitely take the S train up to Klampenborg, which is the station. And then you have, it's out in the forest, and you have this Bakken. It is an amusement park.
Yeah.
A very old place as well, like Tivoli.
Oh, yeah. I do like that. It feels Victorian or 19th century, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
Something about it. It's very charming from the old days.
Yeah.
Anya, do you have any memories from Bakken?
Yeah, we would just sit on a blanket. The kids would play. We would have a sandwich. And that would be a hyggeligt moment for all of us.
Open face sandwich?
Yep, of course. Smørbrød.
Smørbrød,
that's another higgly part of of Denmark. What a delight to talk to both of you, Anya Kuznar and Camila Kolding-Jørgensen. Tusind tak, can I say?
Tak skal du have.
Can I say taksamika? Mange tak?
Yeah.
Many thanks. Tak.
Thank you.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced by Tim Tatton, Kaz Murrah-Hall, and Donna Bardsley at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington. You'll find more about our guests at ricksteves.com/radio. We'll see you next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.